Snowden from Avoca, sorry, wants to give Skip from Robertson a shout-out. He's 36 today. The Lucky Duck had $340 on Celestial Legend last weekend. Yes, I was told that they left no stone unturned in Sydney Town post that victory last weekend. So happy birthday, Skip from Robertson. Thank you for all the suggestions for bets for Bets Friends.
Oh, yes, I've got a few that I'm going to put up. And now I'll tell you who I'm going to put up. Have I got it ready yet, IT department?
8:30.
Oh, 8:30.
Yeah,
oh.
Gosh.
The IT department are working hard.
It's a shemozzle.
No, it's not a shemozzle. I'll be up today. They'll be ready to go by 8:30.
Now, just a quick update on the Masters as we head towards the conclusion for a lot of players. Some players still on the front nine. Remember, it started 2.5 hours late due to the weather. But, I mean, here he comes, Scotty Scheffler. There were a couple of holes there. He just looked like he was tearing Augusta apart. Just, you know, ideal drives, perfect approach shots. And here he is, 6 under after 17 holes, setting into the last. One shot off the pace. Bryson DeChambeau in the clubhouse at 7 under 65.
I'd love to know, Mito, we were talking just before, if any of the listeners are actually watching the golf. So Scheffler went into the drink and then ended up, I think, like either a par or birdie on that hole.
It was back on Amen, the 13th, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
What,
yeah, we
didn't
see what happened.
But,
he's just been sublime, mostly. As far as Aussies are concerned, it looks like Cam Davis, remember, Adam Pengilly gave us that Aussie handicap bet yesterday. It's sitting pretty so far. He's 2 under through 14 holes. Best of the Aussies so far. It's time to talk some footy, though. Last night, the Roosters beat the Knights 22-20 in Newcastle. Tonight, our man, Josh, he'll be hoping for another ambush. He got one last week against the Roosters. Well, they're 18.5 point outsiders against the Melbourne Storm tonight. And then it's the Battle of Brisbane. Brisbane v. the Dolphins to review, preview. We're going to look at everything at Souths. My gosh, what a basket case it is at the moment. And Josh Schuster as well, Yvonne Sampson from Fox League, who I saw she was at Inglis on Monday as well. Not sure she got a bid in for the Winx filly. How are you, Vonnie?
I'm very good. No, I was too terrified to even scratch my head in case I made a bid for the Winx filly. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't that a magnificent occasion? And there was so much atmosphere and excitement and then emotion from Debbie Kapitis. And, it was a great thrill to be there for Inglis, that's for sure.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that then, Vonnie, because I actually watched it online and I saw everyone, they were sort of quiet, and then the bidding process was happening. I think everyone was like stunned with the price. And then, you know, the auctioneer saying don't clap before the horse gets out of the ring. But it just looked like a wonderful atmosphere and plenty of excitement around.
Well, we'd been hearing all the build-up was this John Stewart, the big brash American who was very bold in his ambitions to just take this filly no matter what it costs. And he was even on radio, I think, a couple of hours before she went through the ring, just saying, you know, I've got endless money, doesn't bother me, I'm taking her home, I'm willing to go to six, I'm willing to go to seven. And we thought, that's outrageous money. No horse has ever come close to that in Australia for a yearling. So it was pretty astonishing when the horse entered the ring and we were all there. We knew the backstory. We'd all fallen in love with the romance of Winx and how she lost her first foal. And I think they nearly lost Winx herself. She was very unwell. And this was the first live foal. And here she was in the ring for everyone to see. And she looked so much like her mum. And I think that really fed into everyone just sort of sitting there going, oh, my God, this is amazing. And then when the numbers started going up, you know, $1, $2, $3, $4, $5 million, $6 million, and then you just sat there in shock. And we're like, are we hearing this right? What's happening? And then we could realise that Debbie was no way. She wanted someone else to experience the joy that she'd had with this wonderful bloodline. But at the end of the day, she just couldn't let her go. And, yep, there was no way she was going to let her go. And at $10 million, she's all yours, Debbie. So just a wonderful story for Debbie Kapitis and Whoppet Racing. And now we wait and see to see what this wonderful filly can do. And, you know, because it's just amazing when you think that $10 million and there's no guarantee she'll ever even race. There's no guarantee she'll ever make the track. But yeah, phenomenal to be there, absolutely. And because I'm such a horse lover, so I was running around and kissing all the babies, and you know, it was such a beautiful day. So no, very, very nice.
Yeah, I was very interested, Ronnie, that the mayor of Northbridge, to my right, didn't have a bid for the nothing loss.
I had no moolah.
I think that's a porky. You've got plenty of.
I think you're out of there.
You've got plenty of moolah. But Vody, onto last night's game. So many people were tipping the Knights, and I just couldn't see it, especially after the Roosters' poor performance against the Dogs. Sorry, is that what you expected from that game last night, Vody?
I tipped the Roosters, but with no great confidence, just because it's been a really uncomfortable week at Roosters HQ. I think with all the major concerns around for Tedesco, who's recovering from what we're learning now is maybe up to his 10th very serious concussion. Sam Walker was obviously out with his concussion as well. And Robert was talking about how the Roosters are well-versed in their medical staff. They'd actually... last year sent them to the Pittsburgh Concussion Clinic, who were world leaders in post-concussion research and treatment. So they are taking this very, very seriously. And then they had all the unpleasantness surrounding Michael Jennings' 300th game and the NRL cancelling all the party plans and celebrations, and then the Roosters saying, well, we're backing our man, we'll do it privately. And it was just an unusual week for the Roosters. And I thought, oh, I don't know how this pressure is going to go. I still tipped them, but I thought the Knights... I don't know. Something just doesn't make me that convinced with the Knights yet. I know I love what they're doing, and I really thought that Hastings and Cogger before last night, I thought their kicking game the week before against the Dragons in the Bog was very, very good. And Kalen Ponga, I thought he was ready to tear strips off the Sydney boys. But, yeah, it just didn't quite work out like that. And the locals in Newey, they let the referees know all about it full time. Do you hear the boos? Just because they know their footy up there. That's a proper footy town, and they thought it was a professional foul all night. When Ponga went on that, they were down by two. Ponga made a break on the right side. Joey Manu and the Roosters defender, who's also pronounced Ponga, then laid all over Kalen Ponga in the play of the ball. And it could have been a penalty. That would have levelled up the game. It didn't happen. Adam O'Brien was a bit filthy on it, but he's not going to ask her for a please explain. But, yeah, one of those unusual games that you never really got comfortable with. But, yeah, Roosters, they got it done, 2 points, and they'll take that and move on.
What do you make of Manu's performance?
I love him at fullback. Yeah, I just think the more you get him involved, the better. I think Joey Manu will be very missed from rugby league when he moves to rugby. But, yeah, I think when you've got the luxury of having someone like Joey Manu that you can throw into the number one spot, and he probably gives the Roosters a few more attacking options. Teddy's worked so hard this year, and I mean, last year Teddy was well down on his own game. But Joey is just so full of running and, yeah, just gives them a lot more, not a lot more, but he gives them different things to work with. So I love Joey Manu. Very similar to with the Warriors. You know, if you've got Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, you can throw him at fullback and still come up with really quality shape and play. So, yeah, it's a luxury to have those guys when you can pop them at the back and still, you know, nothing really goes by the way too much.
Vonny, there's been plenty of chat about Jason Demetrio and what's happening there at the Bunnies. We were saying before, we feel he's been let down by that playing group that he's, you know, backed for a very long time. There's been about 1,000 people thrown up between Wayne Bennett, Craig Bellamy, but Mau Meninga's an interesting one, mate. What do you think he'll do if he actually gets the opportunity to coach South?
Yeah, I've spoken to Mel a couple of times over the last few days just because we work together at Fox and we've got something planned for early next week to shoot with him. And I said, hey, Mel, I'm not ringing for the goss. I just want to know, are you still going to be around for that shoot? we just need to make some plans. And, yeah, I think, look, he said, look, there hasn't been an official approach, but certainly there is some consideration going on from Mel's behalf. And now we know that the NRL aren't that thrilled about it because they're saying, well, hang on, you're the Kangaroos coach. You know, you're contracted as such. We expect that to be your full-time position. So Mal, I think, would only take this as a stopgap, you know, for the rest of this season until South's worked out what they're doing. But as Mal said, it's really disrespectful. If they haven't had a serious conversation with Jason Demetrio, who I completely agree with you boys, he's been treated so poorly here. And, you know, a couple of things that have come out, absolute coach killers. And if this if the board truly had a shortlist and this has been leaked, that's another killer. That's another coach killer, you know, and it just erodes your confidence. So what are you supposed to do? And I know the selections were absolutely wild, and you guys had Damien Cook on earlier this week, and for him to say publicly how angry and furious he was that potentially he was being the fall guy for what has been an atrocious 2024. But let's put it... It hasn't just been this season. They were really awful at the back end of last year too. So if you take a broader look at this, Souths have been bad for a long, long time now. It's not just this year. It's not just 6 weeks into the competition. It's the back end of last year too. And we keep talking about the senior players, and it just doesn't seem that anyone's on the same page. And if Saturday's Jason Demetrio's last game for South, it'll be a sad one for Jason, because I don't know what else he could have done. But it's a bit awkward as well, because I've got Mal Meninga on the panel for Super Saturday, so we'll see how that all unfolds.
You might get record ratings, because if they get smashed, Vonnie,
everyone's tuning in.
Everyone's going to expect you to ask the question.
Well, if they get flogged, right, and if Cronulla is serious, Cronulla have got to be ruthless about this, right? Bunnies are on the ropes. The Sharks just have to finish them off and just really put a score on them, because that'd do Cronulla a massive solid and put the Bunnies out of their misery. If that's where we're at, then that's what needs to happen. A bright spark for the Bunnies, though, can I just mention Jai Gray? Mm-hmm. With all the drama going on and Trell serving his 3-week suspension, Jai Gray is now the new fullback for the next few weeks at least. And he's not big officially. He's the shortest NRL player in the competition. He's 5'7" and about 170 centimetres. Billy Slater is a big fan, has taken a keen interest in his young career. He grew up on the Gold Coast, but he's an absolute tearaway. And it'll be nice to see at least a little bit of something bright to look forward to for the Bunnies. But it's all been a bit dramatic this week. So watch and wait. Now, look, if Mal texts me and say, hey, this shoots off, I'll give you the buzz.
How about Wayne yesterday? Did you see Wayne's press conference?
He loves it, Wayne.
Doesn't he? There's some food. He just loves all this. Yeah. He says he hasn't spoken to anyone at South, but, the coach takes all the responsibility. The club takes none. That's the tragedy of all this stuff, he said. He said, something's gone amiss. That's their problem. Amazing.
Well, do you think Wayne ends up? I mean, the rumours with Parramatta. South? And then he's been linked to Parramatta. But then you think there's also a school of thought that potentially the new franchise, whether that be PNG, whether that be wherever, that becomes Wayne's new legacy piece. He can really pick and choose what he wants to do. The super coach, he's still got it.
The Josh Schuster situation. So he's been given 2 weeks personal leave after being told he's free to look elsewhere, and he was to play lock for Blacktown over in Auckland in the New South Wales Cup. You'd have to think, Vonnie, his time in a Manly jersey is almost certainly done.
So who re-signed him so recently then? Why did we do that? If there's no future with this guy and he clearly hasn't met the requirements that they need him to meet, then why re-sign him on such big money? So now they're sort of stuck with Schuster, who, I don't know how you market him. You've got to put him in the shop front window and try and pick up a different contract. But look, I don't know. But if I'm a club, maybe you're looking at, I don't know, what would you pay? $350, $400 for a Josh Schuster, which is half price at the moment.
Yeah, half price, definitely half price, no more.
And then what do you do with him?
Well, that's exactly right. But I don't know. You know, this notional value that they have on, or if you leave somewhere and you've got to be at the same market value, how does it work with Schuster? Because if merely expecting to pay nothing, surely no club's going to take over the $800,000.
You couldn't. That's such an inherent risk. Who is buying a reserve grader for $800,000?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Merely bought him, obviously, on potential. So you can't buy him on potential now.
Not again.
That's exactly right. Otherwise, you're going to fall into the same hole. It's a massive risk. You've got to buy him on what he's doing. And I think people will take a risk at around that 300, 400 mark. But I don't think they'll be paying any more.
I will say, right now, we're speaking about Josh Schuster being signed on 800 on potential. If Josh Schuster goes away, trains hard, becomes a player where you want to buy him at 800 for his effort areas, he could be more than 800. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He could go to one. He is a player, if he gets fit, He gets the he becomes about the team. He puts his head down. He can be anything.
That's the art of the salary cap, is to make sure that when you sign a player for $200,000, he performs like a $500,000 player. Mm-hmm. And if you sign someone on $1 million, they're performing like a $1.5 million player.
Yep.
If you can get that happening in your roster, you're going to have a fairly successful team. But you can't get caught with people playing under their value.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've got too many of them doing that, your salary cap's out of whack.
So if a strong club with a really strong system, like a Storm, picked him up for a song, and then he'd just become, you know, and you can see it, he could become one of the best players in the competition. You know, like it'd just work. That wouldn't surprise anyone. But then, you know, even like a Des Hasler at the Titans, he's got a situation where Fifita could activate a clause in his contract, and then all of a sudden he's looking for someone that Josh Schuster could be that person at the right price. So, I mean, it's a fascinating next step for Josh Schuster, but I just can't believe how much we've been talking about someone who's really not done a lot in the NRL and is on major money. And really, we're now like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? You're like, well, it's been driving a lot of the news cycle, and still watch and wait to see what Josh is going to do in this game, because we haven't seen really any of that potential realised.
Bonnie, I warned the boys last week there was an ambush coming.
I know, no,
and it is Friday.
You said that against the Sharks.
Hey,
it every week.
It's an ambush every week.
Yeah,
and no one liked it last week. We go down to Melbourne. No one likes us. I think Melbourne are the shortest I've ever seen anyone in a long time. But I'm telling you, there is going to be an ambush. Bonnie, are you with me?
You know what, Grubby? I might be.
Yes.
By the end of this chat, I'm probably with you, because the quote of the week, and it goes to, you know, the rugby league Gandhi of our time, Cameron Munster, who said, at times I'm good and sometimes I'm going to be crap. I've just got to get my head right and try to do whatever I can. And really, it's prophetic, isn't it? It's amazing. Yeah. And look, Melbourne have been a bit like that too. You know, they've been good and not so good. And I think the Bulldogs have only been better each and every week. And I love what they're building. I thought what they did last week was pretty special. And with you, Grubby, they are the last team to beat the Storm at Amy Park.
Oh.
That was round two last year. So Cameron Seraldo has a 100% win record over Craig Bellamy. So look, I think the Bulldogs are a chance. I think the Bulldogs are a bigger chance than people give them credit for.
I think Melbourne will win, but I don't think it'll be an easy win. Correct me if I'm wrong, Vonnie. I don't know how good your memory is, but was this the game last year that the Bulldogs really threw it around?
Yes. Yeah.
And they played
Yes.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm expecting them to play like that again. Just really take the Storm out of their comfort zone and move the ball around. So, you're brave man to tip against Melbourne, though, in Melbourne.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Just a quick word, Vonnie. The Courier-Mail's been drumming up the hate all week for the Battle of Brisbane tonight, the Broncos and the Dolphins. Tough ask for the Dolphins, considering who they've got out.
Oh, I know. I thought Flegler was the killer blow yesterday when he failed to overcome that shoulder injury. So, yeah, no Herbie Farnworth, no Felice Kaufusi. And Jordan Rickey's a late inclusion, which is great news for the Broncos. I think that, and this rivalry, it's sort of on the big stage, right? It's got this big stage feel. They've got Jet, you know, the rock band performing, who's a Victorian band. And so they did a presser this week, and the only two rugby league players that Jet, the band, the rock band, knew was Wally Lewis and, weirdly, Brett Plowman.
Brett Plowman?
What? Brett Plowman.
Where did they jag that from?
I don't know. They
Jet.
Were the only two footy players that they knew. Anyway, but look, this. I push on.
Was it a J-up?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they use Brett Plowman as a reference for something else. Maybe that's why they think it's funny. I don't know.
One of the band members has asked someone out the back. Someone's just been playing.
What happened
nuggets.
To Mal or Alfie? They're throwing him with daily.
Brett Plowman.
Brett Plowman. What is he doing now, sir? Anyway, look, I think the
Fatty, someone. Gilly.
Anyway, look, Reece Walsh is back and he's returning from that fractured cheekbone. I thought Tristan Saylor was amazing, but, you know, Walsh is a true rock star. So, look, I think Brisbane, they're down on numbers as well, but they'll probably get this done. Cobbo and Jesse Arthurs and Tony Staggs, Ezra Mam, who's my favourite. So, yeah, I think Brizzy will get this done.
Hey, Vonnie, you have a great weekend. Oh, Uncle Laurie, or yourself.
Oh, Uncle Laurie, hang on. Where are we? Tomorrow. How is it out there, boys?
It's
beautiful.
Stunning.
Race 5 in the Arrowfield Sprint. We have number 2, Arkansas Kid from Uncle Laurie.
For the Hayes team, Mark Zara rides. Cracking race, the Arrowfield. So $12 to win, $3.50 to place. Race 5, number 2 for Uncle Laurie. Keep an eye out, too. I know you'll be busy in the studio, but if you happen to see some vision of the Cove for the Sydney Derby, Jay Reynolds will be there, shirt above his head, waiting it around. So keep an eye out for that as well.
I will.
Awesome. Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Okay, the Masters. Where are we at here now? So Bryson DeChambeau, 7-under, 65 clubhouse lead. One shot back, Scotty Scheffler, 6-under 66. Denny Willett, a 4-under 68. There's several players at 3-under, including Aussie Cam Davis, tied for 4th. 4 shots off the pace, 3-under through 15 holes. Great start from Cam Davis. Other notable names. Where's our man Tiger? Rory McIlroy's in the clubhouse, a 1-under 71. Now, Cam Smith, bit of a mixed round, but he's back at 1-under, and he's on the last hole. Adam Scott, 1-under through 9 holes. Tiger Woods, 1-under through 8 holes. I'll leave it at that for the moment. John Rahm, the defending champ, shot a 1-over 73. Jason Day, plus 1 through 8 holes as well. So that's your Masters round 1 this morning at Augusta National. Now, Loz, the multi is what we need, the multi. And you are playing in the Sydney Cup of the Queen Elizabeth Stakes tomorrow.
Yep, this is what we're doing, Mitter. We're going race 7, number 11, Manzoice, to run top 4 into race 8, number 8, Via Sustained to win. That's paying $8 if you want to be a part of that BSB multi. I've had the IT department working feverishly in the background, and it's always difficult when I'm outside my comfort zone and we're doing an OB because I haven't got access to everyone like I do in the office. But if you go to your Bets Friends page, I've picked 5 people out.
On the tab app.
Yep. And if you go to my Instagram on story, you can see me with a photo of the IT department and how I do things on this program and how I go about it. And this is how I work.
You could have tagged Tommy in it.
Well, I could have tagged him in, but this is what we're doing, and this is what I'm reading from. So if you want to have a look at my Instagram. Rightio. First one. Race 6, number 5, Autumn Angel. That's from the Dubbo Bulldog. So Dubbo Bulldog gets a start. Randwick Race 9, number 1, A Tissue. That's from Brett from Penrith. Randwick Race 4, number 12. Is it Amina?
Yeah, that'll
Pete
do.
Pete from Foster. Randwick Race 5, number 8, The Novelist. That's from Gary from Newcastle. And then Race 10, number 3, Wee Nessie. And that's from Turtle, the Milkman. So they are all up now on Bet's Friends.
I thought you were going to put Larissa's up, but anyway.
But if you want to have a look on my Instagram page or the story, on my Instagram, you'll see me and the IT department working hard.
Are you an influencer now?
I want to be an influencer.
What's that horse you got on the side there? Strong Cap, it's called.
Which one?
On that bit of paper you got. It says Strong Cap.
Strong Cap. Oh, dear. It's been a long week, boys. It's been a long week.
We're going to get some mail from Michael Maxworthy soon as well. So just on your team tonight at Amy Park, so there are $7, $1.10 at the Storm against the Bulldogs. So the Bulldogs plus 18.5 at the line. Still no Big Nelson, but Craig Bellamy yesterday said he's a bit closer to returning to the NRL, so it looks like he'll be playing for the Bears in the New South Wales Cup again. Max King's been ruled out with a wrist injury, so Poasa Afamasili starts for the Dogs. Josh Adokar is back, but Stephen Crichton plays fullback tonight, which will be a big watch. Obviously, Blake Taff caught that shot from Dom Young, which has left him obviously concussed last week. So Crichton at fullback is the big one we're watching tonight to see obviously, if he guns it, the call will be leave him there.
Yeah, before we get into to the Dogs, I seen Big Nelson last week play for the Bears.
Mm.
It doesn't look right. He looks too big. Honestly, he was at North Sydney Oval running over people like there's no tomorrow. Gee, the North Sydney fans they're loving him. He was soaking it up.
Yeah.
It's good to see. Yeah, you know what? He actually had a really big crack. Like, he could probably go back.
How was his fitness?
He looked pretty good, Loz.
Yeah.
Obviously, he always looks good in attack, but I actually was trying to watch him defensively because I went down to watch my mate Bronson Garlick, and he said he's also looking good.
He's a giant, isn't he?
You don't realise until you see him compared to, like, other, you know, NRL players or Roman. Even last week, he just looked too big to be there. Yeah. But
well, they can't win the comp without him.
I agree.
I don't think so.
Yep. I agree.
I think if they are going to win the comp, they'll need Nelson to be fit and firing.
Yeah. So, and yeah, Mido, on to the Dogs. And this is the thing. Everyone said they wanted to see Crichton at fullback, and this is their chance. If Crichton has a good game, will Ciro stick with him? Be honest, I think he'll give Taffy, he'll give it back to Taff.
Yep.
I really do. Crichton, for me, he will be a similar fullback to what Manu is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they'll be looking for from him, to meters, good strong carries. But it does add a whole new dimension to the attack, doesn't it? Like, for Stevie, he's used to such a great system at Penrith. He's come to a new club. He's captain. He's found his feet fairly well, I'd say, but tonight is going to be a great opportunity for him to, you know, when you ask him, he's a very club first person. That's the thing I love about him. He's come to the Bulldogs and embraced it so much, but I'd be actually interested to know whether he actually wants to play fullback. Does he really want to? Or is it just all that noise? But, you know, when he did sign, there was talks that that's where he wanted to play, but at the moment he's playing the centres, has been playing the centres, and it's what's been best for the team, but it's going to be a big challenge for him tonight against a Melbourne team who do the little things right. They do the kick chase well. They'll be trying to get a hold of him and ragdoll him. So I'm actually excited to see him take this opportunity in the one spot.
Just another game I want to touch on quickly over the weekend is Sunday afternoon at Campbelltown. The Tigers and the Dragons, really tight betting market. When I last checked, it was $1.80, $2 with the Tigers, the slightest of favourites. Going to Campbelltown for the first time this season. Let me pull this up here. And yes, $1.80, $2 with Tab. And just on the text line here, hey boys, how do you think Benji's going with the Tigers? After having only won 8 games in 2 years, having won 2 already, it feels like the wheels are back on. Loving the defence that Johnny Morris has got the guys buying into, all attitude. Also super impressed with Appy, Caesar, Buller and Stefano. Some very strong individual performances from these guys. Excited for the season ahead. Cheers for a great show. Good on you, Tiger, Matt. So intriguing game, this one. The Dragons have been very hot and cold so far this season, coming off, well, they were well beaten by the Knights last week. And the Tigers, this is another game without Lockie Galvin, his second game suspended. So he'll be back next match.
That's all I want to speak about, Loz. And I want to ask you, Lockie Galvin, what a predicament the Tigers are in right now. So you've got Aiden Caesar, who's steering the ship amazingly.
Yep.
He's looking great. He's probably, you know, probably looking as good as he was when he's played for the grand final for Canberra. They got Luai coming next year. There's talks of Lockie Galvin, you know, possibly, you know, missing out. But a guy like that right now, the Tigers cannot let him go, no matter what. So you've got Luai, who's going to be the halfback.
Yep.
How does it sit if Caesar's still playing this good? What if Caesar takes the Tigers into the eight for the first time since the grand final? What happens there?
I think it'll be the same situation as what's happened at Newcastle. You know, I think they'll be unsure of what their best combination will be. But the key for Aiden Caesar is to be consistent every game this season. Every game this season. That's the challenge, not only if you're a rookie, but it's a challenge if you're a guy that's been over there in England, that's come back and wanting to prove yourself. I think everything that text message said, Mido, is correct.
Mm.
But I reckon for their effort, they've got to keep winning games. You know, every second week, or if they can get 2 or 3 in a row, and that builds confidence, builds momentum. And I reckon this is a game they should be winning on the weekend. Because if they don't, and they lose 4 or 5 in a row...
The doubt's back.
Well, I think the same thing happens as what probably happened over the last couple of years. But I still think they're in a better situation now than what they've been in the last 4 or 5 years.
But what happens, Lizzie, if they are going well?
Luai's definitely in with Galvin.
So Caesar's gone.
Yep.
Wow. Isn't that hard for Caesar to cop?
Most definitely.
When he's playing great footy right
Most
now.
Most definitely.
He's come back. He's filled a void for them that they've been looking for a long time.
Yep. Because you've bought Luai. You've sold him the dream of coming to your organisation as the number one man. How do you think he feels if he gets there?
Yeah, both sides, right?
Yeah. And he's not given the keys to the car. So he's definitely their seven. And for me, Lockie Galvin's their future. So that's the combination you're going with.
Time to get some Queensland mail. Doomben is where the Metro meeting in Queensland is tomorrow. And don't forget, the Winter Carnival just around the corner. And joining us now is Sky Racing's Queensland four medalist, Michael Maxworthy. Maxie, a very good morning, mate. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Mido. Yes, we've got a couple of big days still to come in Sydney, and then they pass the baton to us here in Brisbane. I think our first official day for the Winter Carnival is the 4th of May. It's Victory Stakes Day, so about 3 weeks away. Great finish in the Victory last year. Rothfire got up and beat King of Sparta and Prince of Boom in a very close finish, Mido. And certainly, you can tell it's only just around the corner. We had a terrific set of trials at Doomben yesterday. We've had the big wet up here, but all of that is behind us, and we're catching up with trials and race meetings that have been cancelled. And Rothfire did actually win a trial yesterday. Saturday stablemate Prince of Boom. A couple of other horses that trial well. Far Too Easy for David McComb at Mwillimbah. And a former Magic Millions winner in Skirt the Law looked pretty good in her heat yesterday. So we're all getting set for the carnival, just 3 weeks away.
Okay, yeah, those were some important trials, weren't they? And looking at this meeting tomorrow at Doomben, I see in the first, Chris Waller's got the favourite user pin. And also, Kira Ma has Extravagant Miss in race six, Maxie.
Yeah, I like Extravagant Miss. I'm interested in this one in the first that Chris is sending up, user pin. Gee, she trialled well. At Warwick Farm, James McDonald rode her and never let her go. And then she went to the Kenzo for a first start, started equal favourite. And she was midfield away and she over-raced badly, throwing her head around. And she did feel the pinch the last 50 or 60 metres. So Chris has spotted this race up here for her, a filly by Yes, Yes, Yes. And she's drawn nicely with no weight to carry in the opening event on the card. The one that I do like in that two-year-old race, Mido, is a horse called Heart and Spirit, number 11, trained by Stuart Kendrick. She's a full sister to Jonker, who won a Group 1. He's now retired to stud. And I just like the way she trialled. I think she's around about $6.50. So I'm going with the Queenslander Heart and Spirit to beat User Pin, the current favourite for Chris Waller in the opening event. Now, you mentioned
Extravagant Star.
Yeah. Surely she's hard to beat here, Mido, when you have a look at her form. I think it was only start number two she won the Inglis Millennium, and then she went off the boil a little bit. She's only had the four starts for Kieran Ma, a couple of seconds and a win. And if you go back two starts, surely she's got to be very hard to beat on that performance at Rose Hill. Have a look at the horses that sort of finished around her in that. The winner was Shadows of Love. Bandy's Boy was third. I thought she was great running second. This is a much easier race over that same trip, the 1100 at Doomben tomorrow for Extravagant Star. She then went to the birthday card Group 3. She ran 7 of 15 behind Chain of Lightning. Probably a little bit out of her depth, Mido, but I think she is clearly the best bet on the card. Extravagant Star in the first leg of the quaddie at Doomben tomorrow, race six, number seven.
Maxie, I'm seeing a couple of Queensland horses running tomorrow in the Percy Sykes Stakes, and they're at massive odds. Can you make a case for either of them?
Yeah, probably not, Loz. I think what the trainers up here, Kelly Sweeter and Chris Munce, were thinking, this could be an easier option, the Group 2 for the fillies, the Percy Sykes. Given that we thought the Golden Slipper winner, Lady of Camelot, was going to run in Messiah. So I think that they were surprised at the strength of the Percy Sykes at Randwick tomorrow. And, Elmer Zia, who was very good in this year's English Millennium, she's drawn the car park. The other filly goes okay, Divine Force, but I don't think she's quite up to this competition. So they'd already sent the fillies to Sydney. Apparently they're fit and well, but I think that's a bit too tough for them, and maybe there's a nice race for them during the carnival up here.
Okay, so your best tomorrow, Maxi Dubin, race 6, number 7, Extravagant Starts, and even $2 with Tab. Any others we should be putting our money on tomorrow that you're keen on?
I mentioned Extravagant Star going to Kieran Maher, and the form's clearly turned around. Well, the same has happened at Doomben tomorrow in race 8 with At Wit's End. Now, he's an older horse who you would have thought a few months ago is at the end of it. But since going to Daniel Bowen at Lismore, he's only had the 3 starts for Daniel, and he's just totally resurged the horse. His last victory at Doomben was terrific. It was with a wide rail. He went around the outside fence and still won. I think he can knock off a couple of the more favoured runners in that 8th race tomorrow at Doomben. The trip is perfect for him. He's got solid stats over the Doomben 1350. So I thought he was the other good play, Mido, tomorrow at Doomben. 6-7 Extravagant Star. And make sure you have something on the very much informed now, 8-10 At Wit's End.
$5 currently with Tab. Have a great weekend, Maxi.
Okay, you two guys. See you soon.
Big show coming up on Radio Tab with Steve Hewlett. Steve, good morning.
Good morning to you, Jerry. Good morning, everyone. Everyone's excited, of course. We can't wait for day 2 of the championships. Mike Wood's going to join us, the latest on the Randwick track. Also heading to the UK, Henry Dwyer is over there. He's mapped out a plan for Asfura. He's going to run in a sprint race at Haydock next month, so he'll join us. Also, Declan Bates, who rides Pride of Jenny. I want to get an insight into this guy, a former jumps jockey. So Declan's going to tell us all about Pride of Jenny. And we're going to talk to a guy that worked with Ashrun and got this horse's... he suffered a very nasty tendon and he had hoof issues years ago. He spent 3 years on the sidelines, but fair to say that he's absolutely flying, Ashrun, leading into the Sydney Cup. But it's just a remarkable story, and we're going to document that in the first hour this morning on HQ.
Love it. Thanks so much, Dave. Catch you shortly. And Dave Stanley is here with us at Raw Randwick, and he has a monstrous show coming up this morning.
How are you, Mido? How are you, boys?
Where's Marlo?
I haven't seen Marlo. I don't know. I hope he's here, because he might be parked in the van already doing the form, getting set a big punters panel, because it's himself, Richard Callender, Brody Nixon, and also Blake Johnson. That's going to steer us through our punters panel for day 2. We've got Shane O'Cash joining us. And we've got the Friday quiz.
Mate, he was up and about last weekend, Marlo, because I texted him on Saturday. I said, mate, what do you like? And he goes, good banter.
So yeah, I had something won good the Adrian banter, Knox.
And he goes, beautiful. And he did a U then. He said, mate, he said, I'm going to have a fill-up if Bandy's boy wins the next.
Yeah, but it didn't.
He and was then I had to text Bandy's him back boy. And said, sorry.
It was all over Bandy's boy.
Yeah,
did he apologise?
Did
he
give him no, he didn't. Well, I said sorry.
Actually, yeah, Mido.
But he was going off too early.
I saw Mido in the marquee. I was floating around Randwick.
Was he in the marquee?
Mate, he was up and about. He's always very,
up the,
very
up on
polished.
The toes?
Yeah, on the, just yeah. working the room.
Did he have the kerchief?
Working the room. But as you know, and look, we'll be honest, as you know, like the four of us and a lot of our listeners... I mean, don't get me wrong. A day at the races in a marquee is sensational. But if I
can't
did say to you,
that,
come round for a barbecue and we'll fill the can with slabs, you'd probably lean that way. And we're all punters at heart. And in those marquees, because obviously it's quite corporate, it doesn't matter which marquee it is, there's a certain decorum, and you would know this. Mm. It's not like sort of punting at your local.
No, you can't go wild.
You've got to sort of, you can't cheer as loud as you want or probably say what you want.
Be a goose, basically.
So, exactly. So I've sort of said to Bido out of the side of the mouth, I said, you're having a good day? And he just, he tapped the jacket as if there was a lot of cash in the jacket.
And he gave me a wink.
Anyway, I thought he's flying. How good. So off I went. And I saw him on Monday and I said, how'd you go? And he goes, don't talk about it.
Gave it back.
Yeah, so the cash.
No, I backed the country champ. I came out and met a mate out here.
It's gold.
And I backed the country championships when I had a good... each way I won at, $26?
Yeah.
So I'm...
Ascada.
Then you thought you were the smartest man in the room.
And obviously I've got cash.
But how funny you left the marquee to bag it. So you left it so you could cheer and watch.
Where do you think the cash ended up?
I know exactly.
That's why I never go to the marquees.
Yeah.
I just don't fit in there.
Yeah.
I like carrying on.
You've got it. I'm the same. You know what? In all seriousness,
I'll tell you what it's like. So if you go with a group of blokes to the pub, you feel like you can carry on a bit. You go to a club with a group of mates, you don't feel like you can do the same. You've got to be more reserved.
Well, I've seen you in Marquees, and I've also then seen you in the GA, which we've got some tickets to give away to with Brett Devine.
Beautiful.
And you are well and truly more yourself in the GA.
Well, I like having a bit of a cheer and having a bit of a yarn and sort of sculling a few beers.
I'll tell you what, I went for a walk down to the sculling. Righto, Bob. Bobby Hawk. I went down to the Wink Stand last week. Now, for those that are coming on Saturday, go to the Wink Stand. It's sensational with the Happy Clappy Bar. It's up the Happy Clapper Bar.
Oh, the Happy. You're right. Yeah.
Yes, was. Yeah. Great horse, and it's a great little area to watch the races. So it's
I've never been.
Tip. Yeah,
real actually, tell a lie. I have been there when we had the function there last year, but I haven't been on a race day.
Nah, it's sensational. Been race day. It's really, really good fun. How's the show been this morning, boys? You been happy with it?
Oh, mate, it's been great. I'll tell you what.
Easy show.
What about a week?
Yeah,
a week ago we were here. It was pouring with rain.
I know. And what do you got planned for the weekend, Josh? You're looking very
it's
up and about.
It's A-League Derby. Tomorrow night.
Are you in the cove?
I'm in the cove.
The cove. Yeah. Now, how much are flares? Are they on sale this week? BCF?
Well, you can't take flares, though.
Well, this is the funny thing.
We're not promoting flares.
I've actually, because I've been in contact with Sydney FC and a few people around the Belmore area know that I'm going, I've actually had a fair few offers come get a few free flares and whatnot. But I'm definitely not going to be doing that.
No,
absolutely
take,
not.
You're in trouble.
You know what I'll say, out of atmosphere, you go to those games with the drums and the way they cheer and support.
No, it's awesome.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I just hope everyone out there, because sometimes you go to the game, everyone's expecting you. But like you said, like the Marquees, I'll be prim and proper and stand. I'm going to be carrying on.
Yeah.
You're carrying on.
As long as you behave in a proper way.
No, in a good way.
No,
yeah.
Oh, like, righto. Father Laurie.
Okay, Dad.
These are the discussions I have with my children.
Hey, by the way, well done to your young fella, too. I saw him jumping into Darling
Harbour. Aqua Rugby.
Yeah, Aqua Rugby. He played Aqua Rugby. They won. They ended up winning their tournament.
It's on for the next
2 days, I think.
Good to see your wife supporting your son and you know, putting the video out. You couldn't put. You just put the video out of the IT department on.
He's an influencer now.
Hey.
Yeah, well, no, well, she updated. No, she put it on my Instagram, didn't she?
No, it was. Michelle posted it, but then you just reshared it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you should have given him his own post.
Well, I had to get Grub to do mine this morning with the IT department. I had no idea what to do.
I'd love to see you at home when something goes wrong with technology.
Oh,
how you go?
How about just when something goes wrong, as you told us this morning?
Exactly.
I'm not brave.
Protector. He's the protector of the house.
I'll see you. Bye-bye. Well, I missed that.